Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Courtesy of Fox Sports, somehow, some way, I like to say that because I've said it about 8,000 times already this year. Bears get a win, 19-17. Hampton OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Okay, well, where do we start on this one?
Well, let me just jump in here real quick. Now, I've been around, again, for quite a while, okay? Played it in high school, Illinois, Proviso High School, Illinois, Chicago Bears. I have never, and I'm absolutely dumbfounded that we, in the National Football League, in the year 2025-26 season, we have, we're on the back half of the season, and we have won three games, folks, in the National Football League. We have won three games with no time left on the clock. Now, you want to talk about odds and people betting and whatever have you? What would the odds in Vegas be if you made a bet that the Chicago Bears or any team is going to win three games in a season with no time left on the clock? I have never seen anything like this in my life so far.
What do you say? They did it again. They snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. And okay, you know,
they shouldn't be jumping on up and down and being happy.
No, they should. Sure, thank the good Lord.
They only scored 16 points and no time on the clock, and they win the game, and they get 19, and they win the game to a god awful football team, which had four victories and five losses when we played them today. And again, Danny and Andy, you know the amazing thing? We still, what? We haven't beaten that one team this year with a winning record.
Hey.
Not one.
But this is a team that is 7-3. And no matter how you cut it, and giving up 14 points in the last half of the fourth quarter, again, almost like on cue. This is almost like it's a sitcom.
What about them not scoring against this team, Dan? It was 16 points. For God's against that team.
It was, hey, we'll get into all the you know, nuts and bolts. But how they allowed this to happen, and then by hook and crook, and it really wasn't Caleb that bailed him out. It was Duvernay.
Yep.
You know, with an amazing kickoff return. And you know what? The Vikings, good for them. Let them soak this up, because they not only, you know, played like gutless dogs, but the big play of the game was on a kickoff, you know, coverage team. And they didn't do it. And OB, you said, hey, you got to stay in your lanes.
You stay. The two outside guys come down as deep as the ball, and the other nine guys stay in your lanes. And that is practice on a weekly basis. And you see what they – five guys from the offside – came charging down into the center and right of the field, and all he did, he really didn't do anything. Andy?
He followed his one blocker.
He went around, he bellied around to the right, and there was nobody there.
I've seen a lot of them, you know, Chicken Little.
You talk about
right
an
into
investigation.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of them Chicken Little right into a big blob and go down. But all that being said, guys, you know, J.J. McCarthy, okay, he's a first-round draft pick, all that. This guy, when he took possession of the ball on that final drive, Andy, do you know what his stats were? He was 10 of 24 in an NFL football game as a starting quarterback. This isn't the third-string guy that they signed on Wednesday. This is the starting quarterback for a football team in the NFL. And he had a quarterback rating of 14. Have you? I mean,
I've never seen that.
Henry Burris never had
anyone.
I've
never heard of that.
No. Yeah. I mean, 10 of 24, 74 total yards, throwing the ball, two interceptions. and a QBR of 14. And what did he do against Dennis Allen's defense?
Tore it apart at the end.
Oh, he went down through us like a dose of salt.
Yep.
And, you know, how pathetic is that? And I got to tell you, the kicking team, okay, we made the big play. We were ready to run Hightower, you know, out of Hallis Hall.
Special teams coach, folks.
Yeah, I'm just saying, why? What is the genetic foul up with this bunch of knuckleheads where they play down, play dead, play soft, do everything they can to keep the opponent in it? What are they worried about, ratings or something? Is that what they're doing, Andy?
Danny, that's what I'm
telling.
They
don't want a blowout?
My opening volley is we only scored 16 points in four quarters against the Minnesota Vikings, a 4-5 team, with J.J. McCarthy at quarterback. My God, I'll tell you what, I can't remember when I've seen a more pathetic performance by a quarterback, and I hate to say it, but the kids right from here locally in LaGrange or LaGrange Park, I mean, but he was God awful, just awful. It was like that movie, The Good, the Bad, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. The good was Williams and our offensive line. The bad was the Vikings O-line and D-line. And the ugly, I hate to say it, but it was J.J. McCarthy. Oh, my God, how pathetic those passes were, Andy, Dan. Jesus, how can you throw that bad?
And Cairo Santos makes the field goal as time expires after missing one a lot closer just a little bit earlier in the half.
It never even should have came down to that, Dan, against this team. I mean, come on, they had a quarterback. He couldn't even get a first down, let alone put points on the board. And we only score 16 with our all-world quarterback.
19-17, final. Bears over the Vikings. Take a timeout. We're going to be with you until 5 o'clock today, and we'll take your phone calls, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. It is a 19-17 win for the Bears over the Vikings on a last-second field goal by Cairo Santos, and yes, the Bears have moved to 7-3. And if the Eagles can somehow beat the Lions tonight, the Bears are in first place by themselves.
Isn't that something? And you know what? Hey, we have mocked Ryan Poles with his little pronouncement when he got here. We're going to take back the North and never give it back. Well, I don't know if that is going to happen tonight, but hey, we're not in town, but we're on the outskirts.
Yeah.
We're cruising in. We may have a chance to see it before it's over with tonight. One thing that I got to tell you, folks, on a dogfight Sunday, everywhere you look around the league, Tampa Bay was in a scratch it, clawing dogfight up in Buffalo and you know, Pittsburgh. It seemed like only one blowout. This game, it epitomized, you know, I think modern football. And it's like everything is so evenly matched. It's going to come down to who makes a play in the final 2 minutes, just like it did today. Now, how many drops did they have? How many drops did we have? Odunze had three, I know.
DJ Moore had a couple.
DJ had some. I'm just saying, for this thing to shake out the way it did, and for our defense, and in an abstract way, we should give them kudos because they were so pathetic on that last drive against a quarterback that should have been run out of the damn game. He had a QBR of 14. All three of us been around this game forever. We've never heard of something so awful as a QBR going into the final 2 minutes with, you know, your starting quarterback having a QBR of 14. Folks, that's, if you were grading this, like A, B, C, that would be F minus, minus, minus. That's how bad he was. And yet, our defense was so pathetic, we let him score with enough time on the clock to where we could get the ball in position and kick a field goal and win this thing for another nail-biter.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that I like to see today, and it's getting a little bit better from week to week, is us using the tight ends. Between Cole, Komet, and Loveland, they were targeted 9 times, but they caught 8 passes. Okay, for 85 yards. We've got to use those people. If we're going to win in today's football, we're going to have to get these people involved from more and more from week to week. Eight isn't enough. We got to get them in double figures between the two of them. They can open up again our passing game, and they can help all the way around if they're put into the game plan. And at least it's nice to see that they were targeted nine times and they caught eight balls for getting close to 100 yards. Danny, I'd like to see a little bit more of that. And I think if we didn't have that combination of Komet and Loveland today making critical catches, we would not have won this game, even though it was an insane game. But we would not have won it if they were not used as much as they were.
No question about it. And I got to tell you, Colston Loveland, on a week-to-week-to-week basis, I mean, he's impressive.
Yes, he is.
And
he looks like he's a 5'6 guy running around out there. The kid is 6'6. The way he runs and maneuvers, and he's got control of his body, Danny.
And his impact, how he affects the offense. And we know Cole Komet he's a fine tight end. Loveland is different. And maybe that's why Ben Johnson said, you know what, I want him, you know, first round this year. And obviously, your point about the tight ends being more and more of a factor today.
They have to be, Dan.
And we're the two leading receivers. And that's a lot of it has to do with the fact that Adunze was targeted six times, only came away with two catches. I mean, if the receivers don't do their job and catch the ball, get it to the tight ends.
Normally, we wouldn't even be thrown to the tight ends.
Well, the tight ends caught eight out of the nine targets. That is an amazing success ratio, and that has to be something that, Caleb, when you put your head on the pillow tonight, remember who was there to bail you out.
And that kept them in the game, Danny, were our tight ends, which we have been saying. I mean,
since the Cows
about over-talking, every week it was, They weren't even targeted. The two of them weren't even targeted, let alone had the ball thrown to them. But now, the last couple of weeks, the passing game has opened up a little bit, and now we see some things. But the main thing again, folks, we played a 4-5 team, okay? A 4-5 team. And with basically no time left on the clock, we had a miracle kick, okay? And we only had 16 points scored on the board with basically no time left on the clock. Through four quarters of football, our offense and our offensive coaches put a game plan. There's only 16 points we put up against a 4-5 team. Now that's reality, folks.
Quick shout out to our friends at Jake Melnick's for that great spread that we had on while we're watching the game here today. Melnick's, your downtown sports bar destination, 41 East Superior in Chicago. They've got those great wings, barbecue all the time, and great game day specials for Bears games. So check it out. There's Saturday and Sunday brunch selections as well. You can visit JakeMelnick's.com for more info. It's game on at Jake's.
Well, we won the game, and that is also reality.
True.
But the fact of the matter is, you're not going to go the last half of this season scoring 16 points, 14 points. Not going to happen, Andy.
All right, we're going to take a time out for the news here. And when we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls at 312-981-7200. By the way, the game that we left in progress there was the Buffalo Bills have defeated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 44-32. That was the final in that one. The one we're more interested in, of course, is the Bears beating the Vikings 19-17. More of Hampton OB coming up here in just a moment. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And it is time now for Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Nashawn Wright gets the honors.
Nashawn Wright. And you know what? A lot of that interception, that was the play. That, you know, other than, of course, the kickoff return to put us in position to win. But that was the play of the game because it was a, you know, huge swing.
Yep.
Instead of them getting a touchdown, we get the possession and we go and score. So, Nashawn Wright, you live, he's walking a tightrope.
Yes,
and he's getting beat a lot. But he wasn't beat so bad today that it really stood out. And that one play, we got to give it to him.
Well, I'll take issue with that, Dan. I would say the defensive player of the game was J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, you better believe it.
I mean, my God, I don't know when I've seen a quarterback so erratic on
a good
consistent
word.
Basis. I mean, minute after quarter, he couldn't convert on third down. The balls were thrown wildly. It was awful.
It was awful.
Hard to believe. And, you know, I wanted the kid to do good. You know, he's from here. His family's here in a suburb out in the Grange area. And, oh, my God, was he awful. Whoa.
He's their problem
no other
now.
Way to put it.
Yes, he is. He's their problem.
He's their problem now.
Holy. Well, that's why I called him. He was the defensive player of the game.
There you go.
Holy cow.
312-981-7200. Let's start off the calls today in River Grove with Luis. You're up on the Hapital Beach Show. Go ahead, Luis.
It's Lewis, but anyhow.
Lewis, come on in.
Before we get into this, I want to ask you something. I've been following the Bears since 1958. Now, in the 63 championship game, were you the MVP or player of the game?
No, Larry Morris was, our linebacker. I was not.
Okay, I figured. I just thought you would have been unanimous. You were just right time, right place, and made the big play.
Well, Lewis, guess what? You and I agree.
I'm down the street from you guys. I didn't go to Proviso because back then, if you were west of First Avenue, you went to Leiden. So different.
Right.
Anyhow, the other thing, they finally throw to the tight ends today more. They finally discover we got two tight ends, and they catch the ball better than our receivers do, I think.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you. And then Smythe, is it Smythe, Andy,
yep,
or Smith?
Smythe.
Smythe, he was targeted, what, three times, four times? And he caught a ball. So it was basically, I think they were targeting our tight ends 12 times. And I'm going to tell you something, Lewis. For us to win from here on out, it's got to be more and more with the tight ends. They open it up every time Loveland, and he comes up with some phenomenal catches that are thrown behind him. He catches them. He's got quick moves, and he's got a burst of speed for a kid that is 6'6 and 250. I'm going to tell you what. I think he's phenomenal. Cole Kmet is right there also. But, boy, do we have a set of tight ends, and we've got to utilize them because that's how we're going to win. We're not going to win trying to run the ball and scoring 14 points and 16 points going with a miracle finish every week. It's going to get tougher and tougher from week to week now. And just keep using those to accentuate the positive.
All right, Lewis, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go out to Texas and say hi to Ed. Ed, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Well, hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Ed from Texas by way of Maywood. I went to Proviso East as well.
There you go.
Is this like a reunion or something going on here?
What's
going
on, Andy? What's going on?
You got the floor, kiddo. Go ahead.
Well, I would like to ask you two gentlemen if you could maybe do a report card for the Bears of the different categories. Coaching, quarterback play, running back play, offensive line, receivers and tight ends, defensive line, secondary, special teams, and general management and ownership.
All right, Ed, let me jump in there quickly. I'll take a couple of them. Who won this game, to me, was our offensive line and our defensive line. If you have to pick linebackers, defensive backs, cornerbacks, you know, running backs or whatever, because if we don't take care of business up front, all right, on our offensive and defensive line, we for damn sure we don't win this football game. So those two, that's how it was done.
All right, real quick, I'll throw that out. And listen, folks, and this is all relative, looking at the big picture. I'll give the coaches a B-. And B- is because we're 7-3. Now, you can break it down. Richard Hightower is probably a D. And Dennis Allen, the defensive coach, is maybe a D plus, maybe. But you got to give Ben Johnson a lot of high marks because not so much the offense, but the ownership and leadership factor that he has brought to this team. We're 7-3. There's only five teams in the NFL with a better record.
Dan, we haven't beaten a team with a winning record
We're
yet.
We're 7-3. I'm doing the ratings here. Thank you, sir. Quarterback.
Well, you're not doing that good.
Okay, quarterback. C. I'll give him a C because we're 7-3. Not because he has, you know, lit the fuse and he's the next greatest thing. He's won some games for us in the fourth quarter. Got to give him a C. Running back, B. Tight ends, a B. The wide receivers, a C minus. Too many drops, not enough effort. Defense, defensive line is an F, OB. The secondary, an A minus. We lead the NFL in interceptions. Special teams, I'll give them a C. So all that, how does it equal 7-3? I don't know. But at your point, when we first came on, we have won three games on the last kick of the game and another one by the skin of our teeth. So however you still got to say, whether we're playing the Little Sisters of the Poor or the Buffalo Bills, we're 7-3. And so I give them those grades.
Well, I'll give you, yeah, they are 7-3. But I'm going to tell you what. Those stats, Danny, that our quarterback is putting up, and we're 7-3, won seven games. What is he, still in the 50s on pass percentages, on ratings, 50s, 60s? I'll tell you what, somehow I don't know when I've seen a team like our team make so many mistakes, play our quarterbacks play so poorly, and we're winning games. And we're winning games. You got a quarterback with ratings that are in the 50s and 60s.
It's not good.
And we can't score points. We can't score points. We haven't beat a team with a winning record.
All right, we're taking time out here. Just having to look down at Fox broadcast and found out that the five fourth quarter comebacks led by Caleb Williams are a single season franchise record already. And we're 11 weeks into the season at this point.
I'm surprised it's not a world record.
Yeah,
are you kidding me? Of which three of them, there was no time left on the clock.
Yep.
And it came down to field goal kicking.
Field goal kicking and a couple of them and a block on the other. So
three of them, folks. Yep. Can you? My God, I never heard anything like that or never could imagine. No time left on the clock, and we have three victories. Zilch time.
Yep.
You got to be kidding me.
Yep. 19-17.
And that's why he gets a C.
Yes, indeed. Bears win it 19-17. Back with more in just a moment. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. 19-17. Bears get the win in the final seconds on a Cairo Santos field goal.
Who has wanted me to give a rating on all the players? Hey, folks, later on in the show, after some of the calls, I will give you a game-by-game QBR number that our quarterback was able to generate thus far this year, and we'll let you know exactly how it grades out as we get back to the calls.
You got to put your seatbelt on because it goes up and down, up and down, up. So that kind of gives you an idea. All right, back
but
to the.
But there was no 14 like we saw from J.J. McCarthy.
Definitely not.
Through three quarters.
All right, let's get back out to the phones. And Rod, you're up next with Hampton OB. Go ahead, Rod.
Oh, very good. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and in 1963, I was at Wrigley Field to watch the Bears beat the Giants.
Wow.
And it was just wonderful to watch them. I grew up in the on the north side near Wrigley Field. And I just wanted to ask, first place, you two fellas, in my opinion, personify the ethos of the Chicago Bears as I know and understand the Chicago Bears and the history of the Bears. But I'd like to ask Ed Obradovich if he could compare the coaching and the coaching approach, the coaching mentality of the at the time he was playing for George Halas, and of course Lombardi was at the Packers, etc. But if he could compare the coaching then with the coaching today in professional football.
Well,
thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, our defensive coordinator, well, George Halas obviously was the with the owner and the head coach in 63. And George Allen was our defensive coordinator, and he was also head of free agency, the drafting, and all that. He set everything up. He is the guy that basically made the trades, did the drafts, and brought the people in, like Mike Ditka, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was basically George Allen who set it all up. And compared the 63 team, if you try to compare it to this team today, there's no comparison whatsoever, whether it's running backs, receivers, quarterbacks, whatever it was. We were the world champions in 1963, period.
And, you know, it's hard to compare, too, because the eras are so different with the money that's being made not only by the players but by the coaches now. I mean, that was unheard of. I mean, there's no chance that you could really compare.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. You have people making $25 million a year, $18 million a year. I mean, it, you go by the numbers, it's beyond astronomical, Andy.
Yeah.
I mean, would I have loved to have played in a world like it is today? Are you kidding me? And we have some players that are making millions and millions of dollars a week.
Yep.
Let alone a year and a season of 17 games, and half the time you can't find them. It's mind-boggling to me. I don't know how the hell these players get away with it, and I don't know how and where all this money comes from to pay these players.
It's television revenue. But here's the other thing. The rules obviously have changed drastically. Oh, yeah. Since your time, my time, and you're constantly saying, OB, the rules tell you, you got to throw the ball. You got to be able to throw the ball. Now, if you can run, boy, that's great. That's icing. But you've got to throw the ball in today's NFL. If you don't, if you think you don't have to, you're kidding yourself. You're setting yourself up to be a loser. And so the sooner we understand that.
Did our quarterback struggle today throwing the football? Accuracy-wise, I'm talking about.
Not as bad as the past 2 weeks, but yes, he has not been sharp in any one game all year. There's, you know, and you, we're picking the bones here, folks.
I think as far as receivers go, guys, I'm going to tell you what, whether they're slot, wideouts, tight ends, or even our running backs coming out of the backfield, I will take our receivers over any other receivers on any team in both leagues, Eastern and Western Conference.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I would.
Love to see our guys run routes a little bit tougher.
I want to see him catch the ball.
I'd like to see him throw the ball down the field, too. It doesn't happen, but we do have the quality.
Yeah, I like our guys. If they catch it and they run the routes hard, they're not doing either. Not as much as they should.
All right, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're going to take a break for the news in just a few, and then we'll come back to your calls after the top of the hour. I want to mention one other thing about today's game, too. I mean, we look at the numbers, and sometimes the numbers will tell the story, sometimes they won't, but the running game was critical today. It helped that clock continue to move, and both Monungai and DeAndre Swift picked up some big first downs today.
That is, you know, the running game has been a hidden hand ever since the bye week.
Yep.
We couldn't run it the first 2 weeks. It's helped us, but here's the other part of it.
Well, the running game, most of the yards, I think, was gained by a quarterback. We got 140 yards.
Yep. But, you know, last week Caleb had, what, 60 or something?
Yep. Today he had 26.
But here's the other part of it. Folks, as bad as that game was played, and both quarterbacks struggled, and it was hard to watch, but we had the ball 14 minutes more than they did. So at least we had 14 more minutes to hope for something good to happen instead of, you know, Minnesota possessing it and hopefully, you know, are not, you know, making something happen against us. So when you run the ball, you keep the possession, a lot more good things happen in the course of the 60-minute game.
Again, 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. We'll take a break in about a minute here. But 1917, the Bears get the win over the Vikings. And again, pending the outcome of tonight's Detroit game at Philadelphia, the Bears currently sit a half a game in first place by themselves at 7-3.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. By the way, coming into this game at 6-3, we had a 44% chance of going to the playoffs and a 2% chance of winning the Super Bowl, just so you know.
Okay.
Now we're 7-3. It's got to be up over 50.
Yeah, should be over 50, yeah.
I don't know what it is. They haven't done the. They have to wait for all the games to play out, and then they will compute it. But it's got to be well over 50.
Sammy's telling me from the booth, 56%.
Hot dog.
So there you go. Well.
And you know what? Wins are wins. 1917, doesn't matter. Wins are wins.
You know, there's an old saying, statistics are for the losers. Okay. Again, we go back, we played one team with a winning record. One team.
Well, next week.
Unbelievable.
That'll change because the Steelers come in.
And they're 6-4.
Yep. So they're ahead of the game. So we'll talk more about that coming up later on as well. Happy to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hey, football fans, he is back. Longtime sponsor, nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk!
For all your home, auto, and business insurance needs, contact Vuk,
Vuk!
At jeffvuk.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side. Head coach Ben Johnson not focusing on the fact that right now, Bears are half a game in front of the Lions, first place at 7-3 in the NFC North. Happy to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. They get there after a 19-17 rather improbable comeback win over the Minnesota Vikings.
And next up is the Pittsburgh Steelers, who won today 34-12. By the way, remember 2 weeks ago, the miracle play by Colston Loveland to beat the Bengals? Well, it was a laugher today. The Pittsburgh defense scored 2 touchdowns, and they just kind of ran the Bengals off the field. But here's the one thing. Aaron Rodgers didn't come back the second half. Hurt his hand, and Mason Rudolph came in and did well. Had a buck 12 QBR, and we'll find out who's going to be the quarterback next week.
Well, let's get back to this game today. You know, and I think, you know, I've been a little critical, and I think Dan has, and you know, maybe I see things and Dan sees things maybe a little different than maybe some other people do. But I'll tell you one thing. You look back at this game, folks. We had 73 plays, and our opponents had 54. We had 19 more plays. 19 more offensive plays to beat this team. 19 in 4 quarters of football, more plays. And time of possession, we had 14 more minutes in time of possession, and that's 14 more minutes to make things happen, to score points and put a game away. 19 more plays to do the same, to put a team away. And we go down with no time left on the clock. We've only scored 16 points to kick a field goal to win the game. No time left on the clock. With us having, folks, again, and this, you have no idea how important this is. 19 more plays than our opponents, and we had the ball 14 more minutes. 14 than them to make things happen. And it came down to no time left on the clock and a kick by a field goal, our field goal kicker, and we had 16 points on the board at the time. And folks, those numbers, to me, you want to talk about numbers that jump out at you and numbers that are stunning. Those two that I just gave you, number of plays and time of possession, are unbelievable. How the hell we won this football game with things like this happening? The football gods got to be on our side.
Well,
they just have to be.
Well, the football gods are always on the Bears' shoulder, Andy. Don't you know that? But the one
that's
thing.
That's either George Halas pushing them up there, I think.
Yeah, that's George Halas up there lobbying hard.
But I mean, Dan, I mean, and Andy, and to our listeners, that's astonishing. 19 more plays you had, and you had the ball for 14 more minutes to make things happen with 19 plays, and you only put 16 points on the board again. And I got to say it again because it's just, I can't get past it. You kick a field goal with no time left to win another game, and that's our third game with no time left on the clock that we won. how the hell is this happening? The football gods have to be with them. They have to be. That's the only answer I can come up with.
And I got to tell
you, it sure isn't coaching, and it sure isn't an ability of playing by our quarterback. That's for damn sure.
But I beg to differ. The coaching has had an effect.
I don't care if you beg to
differ. The coaching has had an effect. That is why the record is 7-3. And it could be 3-7. We all know we are 6-1 in one score games. Think about that. 6-1. Amazing how this kind of a hidden hand has given the Bears.
And not
chances.
One of them has a winning record, Dan.
I got it. But we got one coming next week. We'll find out.
What was it? Eberflus, he was like 2-16 or something like that in one score games?
Yes.
I mean, it was ridiculously bad.
And we all know what happened to those coaches. Not only are they fired, most of them, I don't know, even know if they have a job in the NFL.
Let me ask you, Dan, you mean to tell me you think we had the ball 14 more minutes than the opponents today, and we had, which came to 19 more plays to score points and control that ball for 14 more minutes? And that doesn't mean anything? That doesn't count? With a victory or a loss?
I told you, Dicka used to say stats are for losers. It's about who wins.
No, I just said it.
Yeah.
I said it.
Ed Obradovich said stats are for losers. But regardless, the storm is now here, and we have weathered the first part of it.
Exactly right. Yes?
Guys, we played a 4-5 team. Okay.
Now they're 4-6.
And we came back with a win with no time left on the clock with a field goal. What the hell about this don't you two gentlemen understand?
I understand we won.
That's what I understand too, 1917.
And
I know that, but understanding how they won. I just gave you statistics. You think these aren't alarming? 14 more minutes than your opponent? Are you kidding me? And that's a 4-5 team, and you have 19 more plays, and it's okay? Yeah, we won. Oh, you guys. Ugh.
Head coach Ben Johnson. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. A 19-17 win for the Bears over the Vikings. It's their fifth fourth-quarter comeback victory, which now sets a brand spanking new franchise record for that situation, the comebacks that Caleb has led them back to. So.
Well, we had all the extra time, 14 extra minutes to get it done.
All right, let's get to our Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships with locations in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. And it's the Devin Duvernay return, 56 yards, and he got the Bears to the 1st-and-10 at the plus 40, which led directly to the game-winning field goal.
And you know what? Obviously, we talked about this at the top of the show, OB, and you know, think about this. Minnesota plays dead all day. They come back, take the lead, 40 seconds left, and all they got to do is cover the kick and, you know, pin us down.
And
what a bunch
over.
Of mopes that can't even do that. And it was, hey, it wasn't anything like a spectacular run where Duvernay broke five tackles. They opened up a big gap, and boom, he ran through.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, just to deviate just a second here, the Mueller Auto Group, you know, they've been, they're the father, Mike Mueller, God rest his soul, and Scott, I tell you what, that family, I've known them for almost 50 years, and Mike Mueller, again, God love him, he was what you call a true friend, and Mark Mueller now, Mark, runs the entire group, which I believe they have six stores throughout here and in Indiana, and they've come along with me, and they're great backers of the Bears and great backers of this station, and a big thank you to Mark Mueller and his family, and to my dear friend Mike Mueller. I know you're listening somehow. I know you figure your way out, but anyways. Just a great thank you, Mark, for being with us.
And well said. Well said. We do appreciate them being with us. And sponsoring the Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment. All right, let's get back out to the phones. 312-981-7200. Ken, you're up next with Happen OB. Go ahead, Ken.
Happen OB, thanks for winning those championships. Always a pleasure to talk to you guys. The one thing this year, though, it seems like all these good teams like the Eagles, the Lions lost to Minnesota, Eagles lost to the Giants. I got Buffalo losing to Miami. Kansas City ain't that good. Denver has won all these close games against lousy teams. Very close games. I'm just saying the Bears with parity, I mean, they're winning the close games and stuff, but as it gets later, you know, I don't know what they can do, but I hope they can keep winning and be in the mix with teams, because it seems like there's nobody really winning it that much. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully the Bears will win.
Well, Ken, the real test is coming up now, I think.
Pittsburgh and then go to Philadelphia.
We got Pittsburgh at home here, okay, and that'll be a better test. And then when you got to get to Detroit and Green Bay and whatever have you. So the real test is coming up, and that will tell you how good we are offensively and defensively and how good are our coaches doing, our offensive coaches and our defensive coaches. In other words, it's going to be a total opening of really how true and good we are in the next few weeks coming up.
Amen. And we've won 7 of the last 8, Andy. Now, yes. Go back in your record book and see when the last time the Bears won 7 of 8 games. I'll tell you when it was. We went to a Super Bowl. We didn't do well in the Super Bowl, but that was 2006. 7 of 8, that ain't bad.
Yep, that was a Lovey Smith-led team that went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Colts. We don't have to talk about that. The rain game out there, but it's fun to – I mean – look, it's fun to watch the team win and figure out ways to get things done. And I know that it never looks pretty. It hasn't looked pretty all year.
Yeah, there were two different plays where Tyson Bagent came in on third down situations. Now, obviously, he was not a part of it. But still, the upcoming opponents will have to look at that and adjust. And they're, you know, it's always like Ben Johnson's got something brewing on the back page here, and when we'll, you know, see something else, you know, with that in as far as a factor, I don't know. But I'll tell you what other teams need to start thinking about, OB, how to score at the end of the game and not have any clock left. Because if they leave anything, this team has come back and won. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Well, Dan, the players, they play the game. The coaches coach the game. They set the game plan up, special teams. They work every week on special teams. Stay in your lanes. Offensively, what are we going to do? When is it third down? Where are we at on the field? Are we on our side of the 50? Are we on their side of the 50? All this stuff, the coaches are so important at all levels, but at this level, it is so critically important to have confident and competent coaches, offensive game people who can break the plays down, running and passing, the prior weeks that they have played and the teams they have played. This is all, it all comes to a head, Dan, and I can tell you, I don't know how the hell we're staying in these games. We can't convert on third down. Still, we can't. And the time of possession we've had in two games this year, one was 13 minutes, and this was 14 minutes, and we had 19 more plays, and we win with no time on the clock. I don't know where to go with this. I don't know what to tell you. What? They all played great. There was a great coaching plan today. There was our quarterback played great, and everybody on our side played great. No, they didn't. We won on a miracle is what we won again. 3 games this season, we win by no time on the clock with field goals. You got to be kidding me.
Well, your point about third down conversions, we were 7 of 18. We had 18 attempts on third down. Only converted 7. That's a 38.9%.
That's a week-to-week thing. We go after that every week. It's the same damn thing. We can't convert on third down. Now, whose fault is that?
Well,
Would Caleb Williams have to take a little heat for that?
He has to. And, you know, a combination of, you know, drops, you know, ineffective play call, all those different things come in. But there's no question this offense was out of rhythm, out of sync all day long, and we only score one touchdown. One touchdown on the road, and yet we win a football game.
That's my point, Dan.
We've
only put 16 points up. I mean, and it's the same thing week after week after week, and we're winning. We've won four games with basically no time left on the clock. I've never seen or ever heard of anything like that. It's crazy.
All right, let's get one more call in here before we get to the bottom of the hour news. We've got about a minute here for Ron and Homer Glenn. Ron, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I was just curious here. What do you think we're going to do against Aaron Rodgers and the Superman against us little Bears, you know?
You're talking about the former owner of the Bears?
Yeah, there you go. That would be the guy.
Yeah.
Does he still have that belt?
Well, I don't know if he's got that. He didn't come out for the second half. He hurt his hand. So he may not even play. We'll find out later on in the week. But the thing is, I told you the quarterback ratings that come out on a weekly basis. Going into this weekend, Caleb was ranked the 14th best quarterback. Now, would we love to see him in the top 10? Yes. Not the way he played today. He won't get there, but wouldn't that be great? But Aaron Rodgers was ranked 18th. So right now, statistically, Caleb is playing a little bit better than Aaron Rodgers. That's pretty good.
Statistics for the losers.
I got it.
I can see the gears grinding.
I was just waiting for him, Andy.
All right, we got another half hour to go with you here. 312-981-7200. We're going to take a time out for the news. Bears win it 19-17 over the Minnesota Vikings. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Now for Who Brought It Today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. And the overwhelming choice for us today was tight end Colston Loveland, 3 catches, 40 yards. But it's what he does with those catches, and it's how he makes those catches and then punishes opponents.
Yeah, then the yards after. I mean, he's got just fantastic moves, and you don't see him stumbling. He's smooth, he's quick, and his size, it's overwhelming. And it's and Cole Kmet is 6'5", he's 250. It's about time they're starting to realize, the offensive coaches here for the Bears, to get these guys involved. And they're the ones that are going to move the ball down the field. They're the ones that are going to open the passing game up. It's not a mystery, folks. The tight ends, they're viable, and every team in the league uses the heck out of them. Finally, last couple of weeks, I've seen them used more and more. Thankful.
And one of the aspects of the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, they've been with a 5-3 defense, 5-2, whatever you want to call it, with a monster. That defense is almost perfect for exploiting those middle zones for the tight ends. Let's see if, you know, as you said, Loveland had 3 catches, 40 yards. Cole Kmet, 5 of 5 targets for 45. You know,
and Smith had 3. He caught one pass.
Right. So, obviously, this is kind of, you know, I hate to say it. We've been screaming. You've been screaming tight end all year.
Till the cows come home.
Yeah, and it's almost like they're backing into a necessity of realizing the importance of it. Let's build on that. I'd love to see him target the tight ends 15 times against the Steelers. I'll bet you if they do target the tight ends 15 times, we'll score 30 points.
Dan, here's the thing. Here, folks, listen to me. We struggle to convert on third down, okay? If we utilize what Dan just said, if we utilize our tight ends more, we have 3 of them. 2 of them are absolutely fantastic. They're fabulous tight ends who can block, who can get free separation and have great hands and good speed to make things happen down the field. We've got to use them more and more, and that'll open up our offense. It'll help our running game, and it will help Caleb Williams become a more efficient passer and a more viable, usable NFL quarterback. Instead of waiting for a miracle field goal at the end of a game, tight ends, get Caleb Williams involved, and we're going to win games that we shouldn't be winning, which you coming down the road here, we got Detroit and a few people. Those are pretty tough teams to beat.
Absolutely. But your point about Caleb Williams struggled today. He wasn't great last week. It wasn't, you know, he's had a couple of games that he has been more than effective.
His passes weren't even in the same zip code.
Well, both of these quarterbacks today were just, they were awful at you know, certain parts of the game. Yes. All that being said, those throws over the middle, Andy, I mean, that's child's play for great quarterbacks. And that's why you see, I'm watching the Kansas City Chiefs up here out of the corner of my eye. Mahomes has thrown, you know, the ball to Kelce at least 5-6 times here in the first half. You, if you have a brain, you realize it's almost like taking candy from a baby. Why fight it? Do it.
Absolutely, Dan. Just for folks, just, and I've said it week after week here, just size-wise alone, going against a strong safety and a weak safety and cornerbacks, they're not large people. They're not big people, okay? We have two huge tight ends that can get separation and that have great moves and that have good speed and can make things happen. And now, finally, the last 2 weeks, somebody woke up on offense in our coaching staff and starting to utilize those two weapons we have, Kmet and Loveland.
Especially, too, if the receivers that they were throwing to today were dropping the ball. I mean, there were four or five drops. Why not reset the whole thing and continue to use the tight end and say, okay, well, if you're not going to catch it, I'm going to throw it to this guy.
Well, the tight ends were 8 out of 9 targets. That is a great success ratio. You'll take that all the way to the bank. But think about how this game played out. We had 12 possessions, OB. So, you know, the 12 possessions, we had one measly touchdown drive. We had 4 field goals, including the last one. We had a missed field goal, and we had to punt the ball 6 times. Now, instead of punting the ball 6 times, why not during those 6 drives that we come up, you know, 4th and long or whatever, and we have to punt? How much more would a tight end, a crosser, or a slant, or, you know, a dig route or something like that?
Exactly.
And then, that's 6 yards. Then another one for 6 yards. Then you don't get in those long yardage situations. And I don't understand why. And we know that, by the way, LaPorta is on the IR. For Detroit, they're a fine tight end.
Yeah, big tight end, yeah.
Yeah, he's out of commission. That's going to hurt them tonight when they have to match up with the Eagles. Well, but my point is, we've got 2 really good ones. Why not utilize them?
How long, Dan and Andy and you listeners, how long have I been saying this? Not only this year, last year, the year before, and finally, they're starting to utilize them in the last 2 weeks a little bit more. I know I just said it, but I'm going to tell you what. If we don't do that, Dan, all we're going to do is struggle from week to week, and it's going to be, well, let's go into next year. And if it's the same offensive game plans that we're putting through where we can't convert on third down, we can't score points, and come to miracle plays to win a damn game, I'll tell you what, it's not going to fly with the fans, and it's not going to fly with the football pundits either. I'll tell you what, you got to open it up, and the only way you're going to open it up is utilize your tight ends. That opens up your whole passing game and gets you a chance to convert on third down, go down the field, and score points.
Think about today. We score 1 touchdown, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
As bad as J.J. McCarthy
was. That's what the hell I've been screaming about, Dan.
But my point is, J.J. was awful, but on that last drive, they took it and went 85 yards to score the go-ahead touchdown against us. And who did they throw to? Hockenson. three different times. I mean, when is everybody going to smell the coffee and wake up, Obi?
I agree 100% with you, Danny. You know, we got a bad habit of letting people hang around, folks. You know, we only scored 16 points. We're up maybe a touchdown or 10 points or something, going with a minute or two to go in the game and whatever. We're not putting people away. We're just not putting them away. And they keep week after week hanging around. Excuse me. Sooner or later, up pops the devil. It almost happened today.
19-17, Bears get the win over the Vikings on the final play of the game. A Cairo Santos field goal from 48 yards out to make the Bears 7-3. Heading into next week's matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers at 6-4. And again, the Lions play tonight against the Eagles in Philadelphia. And if the Eagles can win it, the Bears would enter that matchup alone in first place in the NFC North.
And who would have thunk? Who would have thunk, you know, the start of the season, that a little over halfway, the Bears, after losing the first two games, would be in first place?
Yep.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Keep watching.
We'll be back with more coming up here in just a moment. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. All right, Matt Johnson, some of the comments after the game there in Minneapolis. The Bears win it 19-17. And, Devin Duvernay getting one of the game balls for a pretty critical play there toward the end of the game, setting up that field goal with a big return.
Well, and again, it was a kind of a scatterbrain game, and he said, hey, it was hard to watch, and there was a lot of things that have to be addressed, you know, and we'll start with the offense. Yeah, there's too many drops, a lot of things were out of sync, out of rhythm. You know, this offense has always been, you know, the pattern is to be able to be in rhythm. How many times this year through, what are we, 7-3, 10 games? Yeah. How many times have we said, wow, the offense was in rhythm? Like we used to see the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the offensive line has been better. The receivers have been, the running game's there. We're running out of excuses. We got to get this offense in rhythm. And the Steelers, their defense isn't, you know, top five like it normally is, but it's not going to be easy. There's going to be an awful lot of opportunities, but trust me, the Steelers are coming in here expecting the Bears' best, and we haven't really seen it. It's been enough to win some games, but we better be ready to bring our best.
Agreed. And, you know, I think the only times we could really say that they were in rhythm offensively earlier in the season, when those first, say, 10 to 12 to 15 plays were scripted and they would go ahead and they would score on their opening drive, which we had never seen last year at all. That was probably the last time before maybe this touchdown drive.
Well,
today. I'll
tell you something, gentlemen. There's a lot of stuff's got to be worked out here. Going back right to this game that was played here,
mm-hmm.
right here today up in Minnesota, okay, we had 19 more plays than they did to make something happen. And in those 19 plays, we had more time, 14 more minutes than them. And what did it come down to? Our field goal kicker with no time left on the clock to win. And by the way, I believe this was our 10th game. Our 10th game, folks. Okay. That should have been worked out a hell of a long time ago, guys, to have that many more plays and that much more time than your opponent. And you will go down to no time left and a field goal to win the game. That's not a good future coming down the road. And you want to blame the players, blame the coaches, you know, whatever you want to do. But, boy, when you have time like that and you can't utilize it and make it work for you, we got a problem.
A couple of things that really jump out at me. And yeah, McCarthy was really bad. But how can they not try to utilize Justin Jefferson? I think he only had two or three targets all day, maybe one catch, two maybe. But at some point, and you said it after he made a catch, OB, why – I would throw it to him 85 million% of the time, right?
Dan, yeah, I said even before the kickoff, I said, Jefferson, I said, I think they're going to throw to him a ton. Constantly fire to him. He is a difference maker, a true difference maker, and they didn't do it.
They didn't do it, and to our credit, you know, it was one of the underbellies of this game that where even though the defense played decent, and a lot of it was because McCarthy was so bad. But still, our defensive front didn't dominate. We didn't. We did not get a quarterback sack. Very, very seldom did we even get McCarthy a little bit panicked.
They played a little bit better, Dad, against the run when it counted. Do we rush the passer? We don't. We don't rush the passer. I don't care who we're playing and in what kind of weather or where we're playing. We do not have a pass rush. That's why you got to come with line tricks. That's why you got to come with every blitz known to mankind. The four guys up front cannot get to the passer. It's a proven fact from week to week. It's right in front of you, folks.
They got to figure it out.
All right, that's going to do it for us here tonight. 19-17, Bears over the Vikings. Big thanks to Sammy, Eli, and Jack on the other side of the glass. Brett and Dan helped us out with engineering. Next Sunday, the Steelers are going to come to town. It's a 11 a.m. pregame coming up next Sunday right here on 720 WGN. Happen OB has been sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Football fans, he's back. Longtime sponsor, nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk!
For all your auto, home, or business insurance needs, contact Vuk at jeffvuk.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side.
The Vuk Man.